Well, Russian scientists have produced free energy with a 7-kilowatt generator, which simultaneously showed a dramatic anti-gravity effect where the device lost 30% of its weight. It's an amazing story that Bob Kuntz has on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Robert Kuntz, PhD, experimental nuclear physicist, now attempting to create technology that will allow extraction of usable amounts of energy from the vacuum for the last 6 years or so. He's been investigating methods of producing energy following the work of Nikola Tesla and Dr. Thomas Henry Moray. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hello, George Norrie. It's an honor to speak with you. You know, Art left, I didn't know for sure if you were going to be able to do it or anybody could do it. But you're doing a good job.
Well, holding on. They're big shoes to fill, aren't they, Bob?
Oh, my goodness. Art is a legend.
He sure is.
Let's get to this.
What is this?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what's going on. You know, my friend John Hutchison, he's been on your program
many times.
Well, yeah. He's been able to levitate 70-pound cannonballs with his device. But now, John Hutchison is not a conventional scientist. Now, I am a conventional scientist, but John Hutchison is self-taught, but he is a wonderful instrument maker, and he built these Tesla devices that Tesla coils that he modified so they wouldn't spark and on and on and on. And he's able to levitate 70-pound cannonballs, and there have been many, many free energy devices that work. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that such systems as Stan Myers and also Dr. Thomas Henry Moray, brilliant. And he was a PhD electrical engineer in the 1930s. But now, as far as I know, when it comes to a well-credentialed conventional scientist at a good top-name institution, the Russian Academy of Sciences in Moscow,
okay,
doing experiments in a conventional way and reporting them with a conventional paper. Now, I'm not talking about an internet site or something, right? I'm talking about well-established journals. And so this is the first time, to my knowledge, that any such scientists have reported findings, really important findings like these, in this way. So let me tell you what's going on here. These people, these two scientists, and that's Roshan and Godin, followed up on the work of John Searle, who is an English professor. I don't know what his degree is in, but he developed this Searle, what they call Searle devices, SEGs, Searle effect generators.
It's a Searle effect, isn't that what it's called?
Yes, it's a Searle effect. These scientists in Russia have confirmed the Searle effect. They set up a system. Now, listen to this, George. They set up this system, and I don't want to get into the details too much. It's on my website, drkoontz.com, drkoontz.com. But they set up this rotating Searle system about a meter wide. It weighed about 350 kilograms or around that would be 700 pounds, okay? And they got it going, and it started. It's a very sophisticated thing. These are not. These are, you know, very sophisticated pieces of apparatus that must be designed exactly right. So it's. But after the long story made short, when this thing started operating, first you have to pump it. You have to get it going, just like you have to start your car with your key and your battery. But they got it going, and it went into a self-sustaining mode, where it produced 7,000 watts of power while simultaneously losing 30% of its weight. Now, that's not a small amount of weight.
No,
when this thing weighs 350 kilograms or 700 pounds, 30% of that's what, 200 pounds?
That's huge.
It's huge. This is a tremendous report. Now, again, men like John Hutchison and, of course, Searle before this confirms the Searle effect. So before this, it establishes anti-gravity. Now, I've already known that anti-gravity exists for many, many reasons, even though many of my physics colleagues are physics colleagues, yes, not colleagues, but fellow physicists don't understand this, but anti-gravity is a reality because for many reasons, and mostly experimental, but also theoretical. So this is extraordinary. These Russian scientists now. You know, I was blown away. Now, a very important American scientist brought this to my attention. I don't want to mention his name because, well, for many reasons, but he's a very important fellow. He brought this to my attention, and at first I just thought, well, it's another paper, you know, and oh, goodness, I'm going to have trouble reading this. But as soon as I saw what they were doing, I was consumed by it. This is extraordinary. Now, that's not the only thing. There are bands of magnetic walls that exist around this device, and they occurred every 60 centimeters, which is a well-known wavelength for me because that's the wavelength of 6 kilohertz phonons in copper. So it's a scalar wavelength. This is scalar physics, 100% scalar physics, and it's also magnetic phase conjugation. You know, years and years ago, Philip Corso told us that these saucers operate with magnetic phase conjugation, yeah, exactly, or magnetic cancellation. You know what I'm saying, George? If you put, say, a North Pole against a North Pole,
it repels, right?
Yeah, that repels. Now, what happens to the field energy? You know, many conventional physicists would say, well, it's just rearrangement of the atoms and molecules. But that's not always the case. There can be a gauge transformation, what's called a gauge transformation, where the magnetic field energy goes someplace else. Now, where does it go? Well, I have a good theoretical explanation, but it goes into production of scalar energy or scalar waves. So magnetic phase conjugation is how you make these scalar signals, the scalar waves, such as that's what John Hutchison does. His Tesla coils, modified Tesla coils, these are not sparking coils. They don't spark, but he modified them so they and put several of them, 1 million volt Tesla coils, one against the other in a parallel operation, and he cancels the magnetic, electromagnetic fields and produces scalar waves, and that produces the anti-gravitic effect. So anti-gravitic gravity, and again, Colonel Philip Corso was telling this many, many years ago, and there's another report I have from a person who had an encounter supposedly with extraterrestrials, and they also said it's electromagnetic phase conjugation.
Do you think the Egyptians knew this also, Bob? And hence they made the pyramids this way?
Well, that's possible. And, you know, I don't know about that, but I do know about Lee Scallion. I studied that. That system, I understand, he's also making scalar waves. You know, he had that wheel that with the magnets on it that he would spin. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. But basically, he was making scalar waves. Now, what is not known is that he had coils that he would put on next to that spinning magnet system, and they were resonantly tuned to scalar frequencies, and it would pick up this magnetic energy. Oh, by the way, a guy named, well, I don't want to give his name on the air, but that is approval, but a young fella at Purdue University replicated something that Lee Scallion claimed. He said that he could, that it was something called a holding magnet, a Lee Scallion holding magnet. Now, this is incredible. This blew the physicists away at Purdue, but they wouldn't believe it. They still don't believe it. They don't know what to do with it. They're not helping this guy. He set this electromagnet up, and basically, it got going, and once he got it started, he could remove the power, and it would produce. The current would flow in the magnet, and the magnetic field would be sustained. This is an electromagnet without any external source of power.
With the machine shut off already.
With the machine shut off, the same thing that these Russians, these Russians did, and also John Searle.
Well, in lead scale,
then, One more thing.
All right, go ahead.
This Russian experiment. Their device ran cold. Now, that's characteristic of scalar devices, free energy devices. Not all of them, but most of the really good ones. Dr. Morey's device, the harder you pumped it, he had a 50,000 watt tabletop generator in the 1930s, and the harder you pumped that baby, the colder it got. And that's because this scalar energy is conserved, George. Physicists keep saying the free energy devices can't work because energy is not conserved. But you can make all the positive energy you want, George, if you make an equal amount of negative energy. It's
true.
That simple. So
true.
Negative energy is this cold energy. So they're making cold energy, negative scalar energy or negative energy photons, and that compensates. The laws of physics aren't violated in these experiments.
Bob, Lead Skolnin also said that anything could be magnetized, not just metal.
He's right.
He was. He understood.
You know why?
This.
I'm pretty sure it's because there are magnetic monopoles. That's been theorized about for centuries. Since the time of Dirac in the 1930s, magnetic monopoles. And it's a very important part of modern theoretical particle physics, but no one has ever observed them. But now, Whitley Strieber and Dr. Roger Lear, I've been in communication with them, and I suggested to them that they look for magnetic monopoles. And Dr. Lear said he had done that with magnets, and the implants that he removes often only have north poles or south poles. They're magnetic monopoles.
Also,
they have magnetized avocado trees and magnetized plastic. You can't explain that with conventional physics. These are magnetic monopoles. That alone, the discovery of a magnetic monopole would be one of the most important discoveries in the history of physics. And we've got anti-gravity and free energy and you name it. John Hutchinson can shred a bar of steel. He can turn it into jelly with his apparatus.
Somehow I would think, Bob, though, that somewhere in some government laboratory, they're perfecting this and they're not telling us about it. What do you think?
Well, I would say in Russia they might be. I'm not so sure they are in the United States. It could be, but I'm not certain. Now, I do believe they confiscate or... You know, some people get patents on some of these devices, and they stamp national security on it, and that's the end of the matter. But I don't think they're developing it. If I know the U.S. government, these guys put a stamp on it, and that's it. It goes into a bureaucrat's file, and they don't follow up on it like they used to. This is in the 1940s with Einstein and Roosevelt and things like that. I mean, well, I don't know, but, you know, you got to remember, George, most scientists are working on a specific project, and most scientists are following orders, and they've got maybe, they can't just drop everything. Besides, if you go to the average scientist with what John Hutchinson does and say, explain this or work on this, they say, well, I have no idea. And that's because you really need Einstein, we don't have the right laws of physics. Now, I don't use the laws of physics. I used it when I was teaching physics. I have a somewhat different laws of physics. And Tesla used different laws of physics. And these extraterrestrials use laws of physics. But guess what? Most of the scientists in the United States and most of the engineers use the laws of physics from the early 1800s, 1900s, Maxwell's equations, which weren't translated properly from his original form, even, by Heaviside. This goes on and on. This is a story within a story.
How did Tesla figure this out, Bob?
Tesla was a born genius. There's just no doubt about it. The heavens spoke and put something in his brain, or I don't know, but he was such a genius. You know, he was the first to come up with a radiant energy, free energy device that I know of.
Yeah.
Okay. And, 60 cycle current. Well, that itself, why is it 60 cycle? The answer is that Tesla knew about phonons. He knew about sound waves. The speed of sound in copper is about 5,000 meters per second. Okay, and if you do a calculation for the wavelength, that the distance between poles is say 30 meters, you come up with 60 cycle. And he worked all that out. He was a brilliant man. There's absolutely no doubt that he was one of the greatest inventors of all time. Let me tell you this too, George. I have studied Tesla's work, and he was such a brilliant in the engineering. These free energy devices don't work if you don't get it exactly right. You know, people can say they tried to replicate. Let's suppose somebody tries to replicate this Russian experiment and gets a null result. That doesn't mean that the original experiments weren't true. They could have, you know, if you don't do the engineering exactly right, you've got to get the wavelengths right, the frequencies right. You have to use the right material because phonons, sound waves are involved. You may have to have Dr. Morey had to dope germanium with impurities and on and on and on. It's got to be done right. Now, Tesla did it right. Everything he did was done right that I know of.
So, well, he was a genius, and it's unfortunate that, one, when he died, they raided his apartment and office and took all his papers, huh?
Yeah, but I think the Russians got a lot of that information. You know, I'll tell you something. If you believe Dr. Thomas Bearden, and I do, I don't understand all his theories. Now, listen, I'll tell you, I think I'm a fairly good physicist, but, wow, he goes into some things that, you know, kind of lose me. But, you know, if he's right, then, and he was an intelligent, he was a nuclear, well, tactician in the Army. He's a colonel. Yeah. He's a lieutenant colonel. And he says that the Russians, then the Soviets, had very powerful scalar electromagnetic weapons. And I believe they could be right. He shows a picture of such a device operating over the United States. But, and I tell you something, I would be very hesitant to push the Russians around like I believe George Bush was doing there. And Star Wars in Poland and all that. But
well, where do we go with the free energy? How do we convince governments?
George, let me tell you something. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I called Lisa Lyon or wrote to her was that, you know, we're in serious trouble in this country, very serious trouble. This national debt is $12 trillion. Trillion.
That's crazy. I know it.
That's one, but 12 with 12 zeros. And then our deficit, the deficit this year alone is $1.5 trillion. $1.5 trillion. This is unsustainable. We are going to end up in a very, very, very serious situation. The unemployment, the official unemployment rate is like 10%, and probably the actual unemployment rate is 15 or maybe even as high as 20. In the black community, among 10...
It's way up.
It's way up. But George, you know, it gets worse because our industrial base is gone. We don't have the industrial base we need to build, to start manufacturing plants.
It is so true. I mean, no matter where you go, things are being made in other countries, not here.
Absolutely. And then also our education system. Listen, I'm not against America. I love this country. You served in the Navy. I served in the Navy. You were with Naval Intelligence. I was with the Naval Security Group. You know, I'm not criticizing my country because I don't love it. I want to see it change. But our educational system, we score lower than our kids score lower than naked babies in Kenya on an industrialized test. And there are people, many people who speak English as a second language score better on English tests than our students. We really have, and I think free energy might be able to get us out of it economically. But I'll tell you, George, if we don't, I know you work very, very hard, and I do too. And I believe there's a lot of hardworking people. But if we don't work night and day and really do everything we can, this country is going to end up in a terrible depression, with depressions come wars and famines and all kinds of things. And so, you know, I don't want to see that, for sure.
Well, you create the world, Bob, of the haves and the have-nots, and when the have-nots get upset, who knows what's going to happen?
Sure. You know, listen, New York City, suppose we get 50%, 40%, 30% unemployment in the cities and people can't eat. They're starving. Probably they'll riot. Now, you know, listen, I tell you, there are mockers out there, but they can mock all they want. We got a real $12 trillion debt. And also, don't forget, we have to pay interest on that debt.
That's true. Bob, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with you next. Dr. Bob Kuntz, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. The phones are now open. Well, sometime in December on a Sunday, I'll be on Fox and Friends talking about our book, Journey to the Light. It really caught their eye. Journey to the Light, available, by the way, on Amazon.com. They are discounting it now, a steep discount. I guess they don't have bricks and mortar to worry about, and then it's at the major bookstores if you just like to wander around those stores. When we come back, Bob Kuntz joins us and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And I guess we could use this kind of technology, Bob, for space travel too, couldn't we?
Absolutely. Well, in fact, that's the only real way to go into space. You know, this idea of sitting on a controlled explosion is insane. Look at all what happened to two of our shuttles. And this is a monster. You know, these presumptive, well, not presumptive, they're there. These extraterrestrial spacecraft that are scooting around in our atmosphere, they don't necessarily have to have a lot of power, but they can have this anti-gravitic system that the Russians reported is self-powering. It takes off by itself. It generates power. Not only is it lift, is it anti-gravitic, but it generates power at the same time. So these things can take off by themselves and float around. And also, George, my research shows that the inertial mass of a system can be made to go to zero. Now, if the inertial mass of an object goes to zero, you can fly around the whole universe with a AA battery. So it isn't a matter of a lot of energy. Absolutely, space travel. But, you know, down to Earth here, we have to get something going with this economy or we're going to be in serious trouble. But we can, you know, I can explain to the right people that all the world's power needs can be acquired by using Gates transformations. In water, that's what there's a Gates transformation in water. There are Gates transformations in copper. These Gates transformations, the scalar physics, but most American scientists don't even know what I'm talking about. Most of them, if they studied Gates transformations, only got an introductory remark or two. So, let me just say that the laws of physics are obeyed. In all my calculations, I conserve energy, I conserve momentum, I conserve angular momentum. That's the only way I could operate. But there are peculiarities with this physics. And, you know, listen, George, one more thing, and then we'll take the calls, okay?
Sure.
This 95% of the universe is unknown to us, dark matter
that's
and
right.
Dark energy. 75% is dark energy. Now, that's potentially anti-gravitic energy. It appears to be anti-gravitic. Now, if there's anti-gravitic energy in the universe, why can't there be anti-gravity? Obviously, there is, and it's in abundance. So, you know, this is far from wrapped up. There's a tremendous amount to learn, but we got to get this economy going, and free energy can do it. And so, I don't know. My friend John Hutchinson needs help. I need some help. So, anyhow, I'll conclude it there.
Let's take it away. Santa Cruz, California we go. Hello, Perry. You're up with Dr. Bob Kuntz.
Dr. Kuntz, this is my name is Perry. Are you familiar with the S-Door battery? Or UltraCaps coming out this before December 31st, and also the carbon nanotube that was just released this week?
Who is this again, please?
This is Perry.
Perry from Santa Cruz.
Okay. Why... Yeah, I'm familiar with some of that. Those are highly high K dielectric materials in those, but very nonlinear, I believe, in those batteries and capacitors and things. So I'm not exactly familiar with that all that much. If you want to write me an email, I'll look at that. Or you can go to my website and get my email address, and I'll think about that and get back to you. But I'm not real familiar with that.
Syracuse, New York we go. DJ, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. Dr. Bob, I want to ask you about orgone energy and the whole circumstances, your knowledge about Wilhelm Reich and the trumped-up charges where he died in Leavenworth, and his papers were cleaned out by the FBI like they were with Tesla. Have you any knowledge of that, sir?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I've produced some of that energy in my little lab here with phase conjugate magnetic coils. You go to my website and you'll find something on it saying, can dark energy be produced in the laboratory? Well, I believe the answer is yes. I've had this whole room filled with my whole study area and laboratory area filled with a strange ectoplasmic and effulgent energy that radiates everywhere. And John Hutchinson has it too. And so if you produce, if you have two currents, large amounts of currents opposing each other, you get this magnetic cancellation that I talked about, and that produces this scalar energy, and there's all many, many different forms of this energy. But what happened to Wilhelm Reich is a scandal. And also there were cures for cancer involving RF energy during that time period, and those people, some of them got shut down, and on and on and on. You know, it's scandalous. And they're trying to shut down free energy in this country. Not only that, some of the mainstream physicists are obstinate and won't listen and say it's all nonsense, but there are forces at work that don't want free energy. I tell you, I don't want to say the oil companies, but that could be. I would say Arab oil companies, oil-producing states don't want free energy, and maybe others, too.
And when you say free energy, Bob, I'm not opposed to paying for a little infrastructure and, you know, maybe some kind of a system that allows you to download it from the atmosphere. But, you know, we got to get away from the archaic way we're using energy right now.
Well, you know, Stan Meyer had a car that ran on water. He utilized a gauge transformation at 6 kilohertz. It's one of the most important gauge transformations there is, that 39 kilohertz, and which is close to the water disassociation frequency. Basically, if you hit the scalar frequencies right, the system undergoes a gauge transformation and emits a negative energy. See, what happens is that you make negative energy at the same time you make positive energy. The negative energy flies off into space harmlessly, and you get the positive energy in your system. That's how you. That's why it's not violating the laws of physics. You know, these physicists that are my peers keep saying that this is impossible. Michio Kaku says it's impossible. Well, Michio Kaku puts his pants on one leg at a time like I do, and he's not infallible, and he's wrong, because these systems work. And he said on Coast to Coast that he tells investors every day that they should not invest in these free energy devices. So you wonder why you don't have free energy devices. Well, if mainstream, it's not just Dr. Kaku, it's others. Now, he's a nice enough guy. I'm not anything against him. But some of these guys, they believe their theories. But theories can be wrong. You know, theories involve assumptions. There are mathematical singularities that can rise up that you don't even notice, on and on and on.
And they're changed, too, when better theories come along.
You know, and I'll tell you something. These theories kind of get cooked up. If you look at the original way that guys like Poynting developed the Poynting theorem, you know, they sort of sat down and said, well, if this is true, then that will be true, and if that's true, this is true. So therefore, this is what we're going to have for our laws of physics. But you know, they're not contrived, but they're products of imagination and empirical evidence.
All right, next up, let's go to Brian in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Brian. You're up with us.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening to all of this. The difference with what I heard last night compared to tonight is an actual combination of one fact. When you talk about Michio Kaku and the physics and all of this, what it really comes down to is money. It takes a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. It does. And these things are expensive. You know, I blew out my very expensive oscilloscope recently. I need to buy. I'm living off my life. I'm working. Doing all my research is funded with my life savings, and it's rapidly dwindling. So I need about a $5,000 instrument here, and on and on and on. You know, it's very expensive, and you got to get the engineering right. These free energy devices don't work by them. You can't just slop them together. You have to do the normal engineering practices plus maybe 90% more. I mean, you have to do it right. They won't work if you don't get it right. Now, if you get close, they generally take off on their own. They really just sort of self organize. But if you don't get the engineering right, they won't work. So Tesla was a great engineer. Oh, man, he was fantastic. John Hutchison is a fantastic engineer. He is. Whenever you can have him on again, boy, I'd love to be on with him.
Let's work on it. The old Hutchison effect, as they call it.
Yeah,
huh?
John and I have been on other programs together, small programs. But he's a wonderful man. And listen, I tell you, we spend $18, $20 billion at CERN. But that's what they're doing at CERN, in my opinion, is inconsequential relative to John Hutchinson's work. But this guy lives on practically nothing. And he's devoted his 30 years. This didn't happen overnight. He spent 30 years working on this. And his devices are extremely sophisticated. And he is one of the best scientific instrument makers there are. I used to be a scientific instrument maker before I became a physicist. And I know what it means to be a good scientific instrument maker. And John Hutchinson is there. He's a good one.
Let's go to Jerry in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jerry. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I was just wondering, do you honestly think the power elite of this country or the world will let free energy surface? Or will the inventors have heart attacks or car accidents or something like that?
That's the $64,000 question, Bob.
That's an excellent, excellent, excellent question. That's a wonderful question. You know, I tell you, I'm not one generally to believe in conspiracies, but I do know for a fact that there is active suppression of free energy by certain individuals who I believe are probably paid by some other group. I don't know who. And I don't know who. What, you know, your question is excellent. I don't know the answer. It's not only active suppression, it's all, but it is money. It is money, money, money. There's no doubt about it. And, well, you know, there was free energy device. Dr. Morey had a 50-kilowatt tabletop unit in the 1930s. So, you know, whatever happened to that? And the government, the patent office wouldn't give him a patent, and the government said it was a private industry matter. And so he gave hundreds of demonstrations, and it was well-documented, but he, you know, they went to the grave with them, most of it.
Yep.
Because, you know, I tell you, this is not easy physics. Physics itself is pretty tough. But this scalar physics, when you start getting negative mass electrons that obey a different kind of laws of physics, imagine a zero energy particle that carries momentum, you know, how do you deal with these things? It's very complicated, and there are gauge transformations and phase space calculations, and you have to get the frequencies right and the voltages right and the capacitor breakdown voltage. Everything's got, and you got to use the right dielectrics in your capacitor, on and on and on. So this man's question, thank you, sir, is a good question, and I don't know. I hope people will really be alerted to this and do what they can to get free energy going for this country and the world.
Let's go to Janesville, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Terry, you're up with us on Coast to Coast.
I understand what you're saying about free energy and the successes it could create and how it could eventually help everyone in mankind worldwide. But I can't say how free energy could save our country from the simple fact that we're in a huge recession, and our national reserve is probably debunked by this point in time. And, it's like I think that our national reserve, the way everything is, and they're totally denying the recession we're in is so huge, and the economic effect is overwhelming. Everybody's in denial just because the media just is not giving the full effect of what's really happening around us.
You're 100% right. You know, I've read the New York Times for 20 years, and the reporting, I'm sorry, I wish it weren't, what I'm about to say is not weren't true, but it gets worse and worse and worse. I can't even understand the headlines sometimes. And they report soccer matches and football games and operas and all kinds of things on the front page. When we got really fundamental, serious problems, as this man says, right at the core of our country, we're at risk for something worse than the Great Depression. I'm certain of it. You know, my opinion is we've got maybe a year to really start turning things around dramatically, or we're headed. And these politicians, you know, they don't get it. They, you know, George, if you start maxing out your credit card, or if you start putting too much on your credit card, you cut down. So do I, right? You stop spending so much. But these guys in Washington, they keep spending more and more and more.
I mean, it's like they pick it off a tree, isn't it, Bob?
Well, they're printing it now. It's basically the same thing. You know, they're just, what's going to happen is the currency is losing a lot of value, as you know. gold is going up. The euro is going up. I don't know when the dollar will no longer become the world currency, but it's going to happen, I believe. And so we are in serious trouble. And, you know, we can't sit around and watch American Idol. We have to do something. And I, listen, George, you know this and I know this. A housewife in Minnesota or a paralyzed veteran in a veterans hospital can do a lot. And I want to say thank you to our veterans, too, especially Marine Corps, but all of you. And you've got a tough job. And I spent 6 years in the Navy, but I tell you, I'm no hero. And like you guys in there, they've been in Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's so true. Toronto, Ontario. Sam, a few minutes here. Go ahead, Sam.
Hello. How's everybody tonight?
Okay, Sam.
Good.
I have a question. I've been looking a while for a way to build the free energy machines, and the ones that I tried on the internet never worked. I was just wondering if you know an effective energy machine that I could build, or how to get the plans for it, or where to do that.
If you would, well, I say there's on the internet. If you look under SEC, that's spatial exciter coherence. Dr. Ronald Stifler of Stifler Scientifics sells devices, but you have to be engaged in research. He won't give them. He builds them special for individuals. Mm-hmm. But this is something that's already sort of already tested and works. And it's a free energy device, but you have to give it a little power. It puts out maybe 100 watts of power and consumes 0.6 watts, according to my analysis, something like that. It uses something called an Abramenko plug. This is very sophisticated engineering. I would not recommend that a typical person try to build a free energy device because it isn't easy at all. You really have to get the physics just right. And the thing about the physics is that you're not going to be able to find this in a textbook. You can study the patents of Stan Meyer, but that's pretty sophisticated too, and you really need to know about Gates transformations. This is not amateur hour exactly, but, I don't want to – amateurs can do a lot. Amateur sure. astronomers have discovered many things.
Including asteroids.
Asteroids, right. An amateur scientist like John Hutchins, though I don't want to call him an amateur scientist. You know, listen, George, if I could give a Nobel Prize to anybody right now, including myself, I would give it to him.
Okay, Bob, we're out of time. I want to thank you. Website, drkuntz.com. Keep in touch, Bob, all right?
Okay, George, you take care.
All right, he does just great work, and I just like his mindset. I really do. Our next Coast to Coast program, Tom Horn joins us. We're going to be talking about the Nephilim Stargates, and I'll tell you what, he's got an incredible story to tell. And then on Thursday, Thanksgiving night, Glynis McCants joins us for a couple hours, the Numbers Lady, plus another surprise guest. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.